John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
I calm myself down and I get my shit together so I can calm again. I'm just like, who the fuck are you with right now? Why are you lying? What is happening if they're together and they're hiding that they're together? If this is so innocent, why is this such a secret? Eventually, I look my husband in his eyes and I say to him point blank, I say, are you fucking my mom?
Well, I didn't think the answer to this question would turn out to be no, at least at first. But before her husband confessed to an affair with her mom, there was quite the bumpy road to even finding out. Hey, what's up? It's Abby from The Breakup Breakdown. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. If you're new here, this is the podcast that brings you the stories behind messy breakups you want to know more about. Like maybe it's something you saw on TikTok. Maybe it's that girl you follow from your Instagram who deleted all of her photos with her boyfriend and you've been chatting about it in the group chat and you want to ask her about it, but you haven't spoken to her since sophomore year of high school. So it's like, how are you going to if you have a story like that, you can submit any of those tips in the episode description. There's a submission form there. Also, I accept self-submissions too. So if you've got a breakup story you want to tell, feel free to submit. Again, that is in the episode description. And as always, if there's a certain part of the interview you would like to jump to, again, those can also be found in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to the start of season 5. Can you believe we have made it this long? Because I certainly cannot. But anyway, we've got a submission this week from a woman who says that her mom and her husband had an affair. It's definitely not a story I thought we would ever have on this podcast. But you know what? People surprise me every single day. But before we get into that, something we do on this podcast is every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter throughout the country. And this week we're giving a shout out to Coburn Place in Indianapolis. They provide support and safe housing choices for survivors of domestic violence and their children. They serve everyone, women, men, transgender, non-binary people, because they believe that everyone is welcome and everyone belongs. They have transitional housing and community-based housing programs in the area. So if you want to check out how you can support, you can always find those details in the episode description. So into the submission. So I've been getting a lot of submissions from TikTok recently, but I promise you this one is worth it because the story I came across on TikTok, because I was scrolling and I came across one of those photo posts where you can swipe and see, you know, a bunch of pics because somebody decided to post for some reason. And the first photo on this post was this beautiful picture of what appeared to be a happy family, two babies, a mom, a dad. They're all cuddled up and smiling at the camera. But the caption said, I heard we were exposing our husband's mistresses. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to swipe right so I can see who it's going to be. And then I swipe right and it's dead ass a photo of her mom, or at least that's what the caption said. And let me tell you, this shit had me gagged, I tell you. So I add her on TikTok and I'm hoping she'll add me back, because if you don't know, I can't message people unless they add me back on TikTok. So I add her, and then a couple hours later, I get tagged in another post from her. And I was like, hell yeah, the Heartbreakers are invested as well. Like, we have to get the story. And here's a bit of what she said.
I found out that my husband was having an affair with my mother while I was also dealing with severe postpartum depression after giving birth to twins when I was only 29 weeks pregnant. Their affair lasted roughly 4 months before I finally definitively caught them red-handed. And the story of how I found out, that needs its own video. But when I did confirm that the affair was happening, I left immediately with my children. And the day, the night that I left with my daughters, my mother moved into my house with my husband.
She left me with such a cliffhanger when she was like, it needs its whole video. I'm like, girl, it needs its whole podcast, which is why I was like in the comments spamming her like, please come on. And she was so gracious enough to come on and give us an interview, because I just had so many questions. You know what I mean? I only had a couple of hypotheses in my head as to what could have happened. And I think the only thing that really felt like it could be true for this kind of story is the mom must have had it out for the daughter, because how else could you do that to the literal child that you gave birth to? Like, they must have had some kind of long-standing feud to where the mom was like, how can I really stick it to my daughter? Again, that's just my speculation. I knew I wasn't going to get real answers until me and the interviewee actually talked. So let's find out what the real reason behind why this affair even happened when we break down
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This week's breakup.
I met him when I was 15. He was a grade above me, so he was 16 when we met. As soon as he entered the class on the first day of school, I immediately was in love with him. Before he had come into the class, we had all, you know, decided where we were going to sit, and my best friend at the time had the same class, so we were sitting next to each other. And when he walked into the room, my best friend and I looked at each other and we were like, dibs. Which now looking back, I'm like, oh God, what was I thinking? But at the time I was 15, and it's funny because I ended up marrying the guy and my best friend ended up coming out gay. So it was very funny. So that is how we met, as high school sweethearts.
Who made the first move? Did he like ask you for a pencil in class?
No, but I was constantly dropping pencils, hoping that he would pick them up. He sat, I think he was the seat behind me or two seats behind me from what I'm recalling. Or like if he had to get up, he had to like walk past me in order to like go to the teacher or sharpen a pencil or whatever he would have to get up for. He had to walk by me in order to get up and do anything. And so I would always accidentally like bump him with my elbow and be like, oh, sorry, my bad. Just to try to get his attention. Because he was the older kid in the class. So all the girls in my class were like, ooh, an older boy. Every girl had a crush on him. And I thought he didn't even know that I existed, because I was younger than him. And there were plenty of other girls that I thought were prettier than me in that class who he was talking to, because he sat by them. He didn't give me any attention at all. But one day in class, I had finished writing my speech, my assignment, before everybody else had finished. So I was just chilling, hanging out on my phone. And he was sitting across the room, because at this point we had just split up into groups and we're just hanging out. And he was like, hey, Catherine, are you done? And that was the first time he ever spoke to me. So in my head and in my heart, I'm like, oh my God, he's talking to me. My heart was like beating out of my chest. But of course, you know, I played it cool and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm done. And he asked if I would help him finish writing his speech. So again, I played it cool, like, oh yeah, sure, I can help you. Meanwhile, I was trying not to shit my pants. After that day or class, he had asked when the bell rang if he could walk me to my next class. So I was like, yeah, yeah, sure. And again, I was dying on the inside, just trying to be cool. And after he walked me to that next class, he asked me out on a date. And I was not allowed a date in high school. I grew up with very controlling parents. So I never even went to a birthday party as a kid. I wasn't allowed to go do anything. But I really wanted to be cool for this cute guy and didn't want him to think I was a loser like every other guy did, because I can't go on dates or do anything. So I was like, I would love to go do that with you, but my parents would never let me. But what if you came over to my house and we like watched movies and baked cookies and like hung out together? So he agreed to that. And I guess that was our first date, was him just coming over to my house. We didn't officially go on our first like real date until we turned 18.
Whoa, that's an interesting point you make about your parents. And I'll ask about them since they play a pivotal role in this story.
Yeah, they do.
What was your relationship like with your mother growing up?
It's so difficult to answer that now, because when I think back in my memories of myself as a child, I thought I had an amazing childhood, the best. I had the best parents. I had the best childhood. It's only until the therapy that I've been in the last year and a half and really being able to look at my childhood from a different lens that I'm able to see and recognize the neglect or emotional abuse that I endured that I didn't realize was the case. I thought how I grew up and how I raised was normal because it's all I knew. In my household as a child, it was what mom says goes, or there would be consequences. For all four of us kids, if we did something that our mother did not approve of, and it didn't matter what it was. So sometimes trouble or discipline would look like having a talking to from our mom. But instead of it being like a, I don't know, 30 second to maybe five top minutes of, hey, you did something wrong. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out why you did this, why it's wrong, why we're not going to do it again. These conversations would always occur somewhere around 7 to 9 p.m. is when they would start, and they would not end until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
But it would be hours and hours and hours of just her talking, yelling, screaming, cussing. And if you tried to say something and give input, like, I'm sorry, you're right, I shouldn't have done that, you were told, quit talking, mom's talking right now, you need to listen. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't say anything. If we tried to defend ourselves, if we were getting in trouble for something we didn't do or we didn't think was wrong and we wanted to explain the situation, we were talking back. If we didn't say anything, we were giving her the silent treatment and ignoring her. So it's like, no matter what we did or didn't say, it wasn't going to help the length of the conversation. We just had to sit there and never know how many hours it's been and just finally just hope and wait for it to be over with and be done so we can go to bed. Because this would happen on school nights and we would just have to wait for it to be over. One thing I went through that my little sister at least has expressed that she didn't have the same experience with was physical abuse. All of us four kids were spanked kids, which obviously that's a controversial topic to discuss, you know, with people's opinions on that. But I think oftentimes our parents took it a little too far and definitely, if not crossing, stepping on that line of, if, is this discipline or is this abuse? In those conversations, those late night hours long, like 2, 3, 4, 5 hour long conversations, if I were to ever give input that I was being told was talking back, I would get backhanded or slapped if I were to speak or talk or flicked on the face. That was my mom's favorite, flicking on the face. Whereas like my little sister says that never happened to her. She had the talking twos, but never that kind of stuff.
So you date him throughout high school and you get married at what point?
So he and I, neither of us went to college. He graduated high school in 2014 and immediately established a career. And then I was still in high school for another year because I was a grade under him. And then I graduated in 2015. I established a career in banking. And then we got married the following May after I graduated high school. So we were 19 when we got married.
Would you say your relationship was pretty normal, even keeled throughout that?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we didn't really date in high school. So we really didn't start dating until I turned 18. So we were committed to each other for 3 years before I turned 18, but we didn't get to actually experience what you do when you're young and you date and you go to the movies and, you know, you have privacy. Like we didn't have any of that. So the only times we ever hung out when it wasn't with my whole entire family is when we would sneak out in the middle of the night so we could go see each other, friggin' praying that I wasn't going to get caught and have be skinned alive from sneaking out. Yeah. My parents still don't even know that to this day. So if they end up seeing this podcast, that's how they're going to find out. They thought I got married a virgin.
Oh my God.
I was fine with them thinking that. My older sister, she's a couple years older than me. And when she turned 18, she was like, I'm out of here. And she left because our family's crazy.
So did you guys end up getting married just so you could get out of this home situation, or were you ready at that point?
No, my parents got married right out of high school. They met in high school. So I think that as soon as I entered my freshman year, I unhealthily idolized my parents and their relationship. I thought it was the perfect relationship. My father, then and now, kisses the ground she walks on, does everything she says. If she says jump, he says, how high? Where do you want me to jump? When do you want me to jump? And I idolized that. And I wanted that relationship. So as soon as I entered high school, I was looking for my husband. And I made that very clear with these boys so that I would have crushes on. And then, of course, they're like, you're crazy. And you're like, I'm out. And for some reason, my ex-husband was the only one who stuck around and was not reasonably scared off by me. When I met my ex-husband, I made it very clear to him too. Like, my goal with dating is to eventually marry. Like, not necessarily get married the day after we graduate, but like, that's my goal with dating. I'm not dating just to have fun. I'm dating with the end goal of eventually marrying somebody one day. He expressed it. He was fine with that. Had I had it my way, I would have even gotten married sooner than I did, which in hindsight, I don't know what I was thinking. I would have, if I had the means to, I would have gotten married right out of high school, but it wasn't necessarily just because I wanted to get out of my parents' control. Sure, that was part of it, but that wasn't the reason why I was marrying, because otherwise, when I turned 18, I could have moved out without getting married.
You guys end up getting married. I see that you have at least two beautiful kids.
Yeah.
So great. So when does shit hit the fan? Like, when does this affair happen?
Well, shit kind of started hitting the fan before the affair happened. My biggest dream in my whole life was to be a mom. That was my dream. That's what I wanted. So I think that was also a reason why I got married as quickly as I did, is because I wanted to be a mama. I wanted that dream of mine to be fulfilled. And I also made that very clear with my ex-husband when we started dating, is I want to get married and I want to have babies and I want to be a mama. And he was the one that wasn't scared off by that. And so a couple weeks before we got married, he had broken the news to me that I changed my mind. I'm not ready to have kids right away. Whereas for me, again, hindsight, don't know what I was thinking. But at the time, I was like, I want to like get pregnant on a honeymoon. Like, I want babies now. I'm ready. I was young, but in my head, I'm like, we've already been together for like almost 5 years. Like, it's not a new relationship. I'm ready. And so he had broke the news to me a couple of weeks before we got married. I changed my mind. I want to wait. And I was willing to compromise because, you know, with his words, it's like, yes, we've been together that long, but we've only been dating for a year. We've been committed to each other, but I want to be able to enjoy and spend my time with you and just you. And selfishly, I want your attention before both of our attention is on our children, because the attention should be on them. But for now, I want to be selfish and I want to enjoy you and me and just us for a little while. So I was bummed, but I understood. So I compromised and we together decided we would wait 2 years of being married before trying. So those 2 years came. I was like, all right, 2 years, let's go. And he said, I'm still not ready. Can we wait one more year? So I compromised again. And I said, okay, yes, we can wait one more year. So that 1 year came up again. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready and I'm not waiting. And he didn't necessarily verbalize to me that he wanted to wait, but he was not eager or excited to start trying. I don't have fertility issues, but this is so TMI, I'm so sorry. I only have a menstrual cycle like once a year. So trying to figure out when to get pregnant was not going to be easy. And so that's also why it's like, I don't want to keep waiting because I don't know how long this is going to take us. This might take a while before it actually works. I was like, I'm not waiting anymore. Let's go. And so miraculously, it only took about a month and a half before I had a positive pregnancy test. So got a positive pregnancy test. I literally still have the video of me finding out I was pregnant. And then the next day, I found out I was miscarrying.
Huh.
Went to the ER, was diagnosed you're having a miscarriage. Come back every few days so that we can keep checking on you, checking on your HCG level to make sure that the pregnancy is gone. I kept going back in. The pregnancy was not showing up. It was still saying I was pregnant even after weeks. I ended up having a surgery performed that's called a D&C. It's the same procedure that would be performed for women who have an abortion, where they go in and they just take everything out because they were assuming that part of the baby maybe passed and the other part didn't. Went through that whole procedure. Weeks later, was still having positive pregnancy tests. So then I was told, okay, sorry, we misdiagnosed you. You never had a miscarriage. You're still pregnant, but it's in your fallopian tube. So I had already mourned for weeks what I thought was the loss of my baby. Come to find out, nope, you've still been pregnant this whole time, but your baby's in your fallopian tube, so you still can't keep it anyway. And if you keep this pregnancy, the baby's going to die and you're going to die. So I was given two options, have surgery to try to get the baby out and remove it, but then you're going to risk scar tissue in that tube, which is going to increase the chance of this happening again, or you risk us not being able to stitch you back up and you just lose that fallopian tube. Or your second option is to undergo a medication called methotrexate, which is a form of chemotherapy to dissolve the mass in your fallopian tube. So I went with the second option. So I went through a single round of chemotherapy, didn't work, and I ended up having emergency surgery to save my life to remove that tube anyway. So lost that baby in a very extra traumatic way, because first I thought I lost it, then I didn't lose it, but now you still can't keep it. So now you have to decide, how do you want to kill your baby? And that it wasn't just it happened. Now I had to make the choice. It was horrible. And I know that everybody grieves in their own way, but I always felt that my ex-husband didn't grieve as much as I thought he should have. I was devastated, and it really seemed like he might have been relieved.
Yeah, you felt grief. He felt relief.
Yeah. He never verbalized that. That's just how I felt. I was ready to try again as soon as I could try again. But you have to wait X amount of months for the chemo to leave your body for you to be able to be pregnant again. So I was like, that's fine. During that time, maybe I can try to undergo hormone therapy to get a menstrual cycle so I can track it. There was no luck with that. So my OBGYN said, if you want to get pregnant, you need to do IVF. So we did IVF to get pregnant. He did not want to do IVF. It caused a very big disagreement where I even had said to him, you know, my dream is to be a mom and I love you, but I love my potential future children more than I love you. And so if you don't want to go through this journey with me, that's okay. That's fine. But I'm going to do it by myself, because if I'm going to do IVF anyway, I don't need your help. And I kind of gave him an out if he wanted to have that out, because I wasn't going to force him to have kids with me. You know, that's the worst thing that I would ever want to do to a child, is bring a child into the world with a parent that doesn't even want them there. And if he didn't want kids, he didn't want kids. I would be crushed. I would be heartbroken because I loved him. But if that's not what he wanted, then I'm not the person for him. But he said, no, we'll do it. We'll do it. So I had to beg him to come to nearly every appointment, every ultrasound. But we ended up going through IVF, and that is what resulted in our twin daughters. I can't even remember the question you asked me that made me go off on that tangent.
Well, I was asking him, I was like, okay, we got
the fight. What started it? Okay. So all that fighting about a baby is really what, you know, started our first ever disagreements or issues. IVF obviously is a very stressful situation to be in, not knowing if it's going to work. Then we found out we're having twins. My twins were born very, very early. I was only 29 weeks when I gave birth. And so they spent the first 3 months of their life in the NICU. One of my daughters almost died. Ugh. It was a very, very scary situation. And when we finally, 3 months later, got to come home from the hospital, it was a hard transition going from living in a hospital for 3 months to being at home with twins without tons of nurse and doctor staff helping me, you know, taking care of one baby while I'm taking care of the other. My husband didn't have any paternity time hardly left because we were there for 3 months. And so he was using it, scarcely. And so when I was going to be home, it's like, oh man, I'm going to be by myself after having so much help for 3 months. My grandmother, which is my mom's mom, she graciously offered. She's like, you know, Catherine, if you want like a couple of days a week, if there's just days where you want us to come over so we can help you with dishes or laundry, or if you just want to take a nap or shower, I would love to come over and love on your baby so that you can get things done, or we can help you get things done, or you can just rest. And I was like, yes, please. I'm someone who is very bad at asking for help. I'm so bad at it. But when it's offered, I'll take it. And so then my mom was also like, oh my gosh, yes, like I'll help too. Like we can make a schedule of like days that me or your grandma come, and we'll just make a little schedule so that you can, you know, plan if you want to go get a pedicure, if you want to go do something for yourself, like if you want to go grocery shopping, like we can make a schedule so you know like when you can do stuff. So at first I was like, this is awesome. This is great. But with my mother, eventually, instead of it just being her there a few hours a week, it just kept increasing and increasing and increasing. My girls came home from the hospital in June, and by October, my mother was there every day, anywhere between like 8 and 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Like she would just spend the night and sleep there often. During this time also, my mother was actively having several affairs on my father and sharing the details of those affairs with me and my siblings. I haven't even shared this in my videos. My mother would share with me and my siblings her texts, including photos and videos between her and her male suitors that included explicit content. And she would share that with all of us, all of me and my siblings. That was the hardest time I've ever gone through in my life, was that year of losing a baby, IVF, premature babies. My mom's having several affairs on my father, telling me all about it while I'm in the NICU, after I get home, showing me these messages and photos and videos of her male suitors, of herself, just all kinds of stuff. My parents were fighting because of the affairs. So therefore, that's why my mom was at my house all the time. And I'm just trying to be a nice, good daughter. So I'm allowing her to be there at my house. But eventually I'm getting to a point where it's like, get out of my house. I appreciate the help and I'm so grateful, but you're here all day, every day. Again, sometimes 24 hours a day for like a week straight. It's like, I don't have privacy. I miss my husband. I just want time to be a family with me, him, our daughters, and no doctors, no nurses, no family. I just want it to be us. And I started to really, I felt like I was going crazy. And I also had really bad postpartum depression too. And even besides that, I have regular depression. So I was not doing well. And my husband and I just started to get more irritated with each other about little things. I couldn't even tell you specifically what we would argue or disagree on because they were dumb things I can't even remember now. But we were new parents of preemie twins. So we were stressed. And I had all my stress of my parents and all their crap going on. My ex-husband's parents are not active in his life. So like his family is my family. So there's just a lot going on. And we were stressed and tired. One of my daughters is disabled. She doesn't have an official diagnosis. No doctor, no specialist has been able to tell us what's wrong. wrong with her. But since birth, she has struggled to eat food and keep it down. So she never took a bottle, never breastfed. She was, as an infant, 100% fed through her feeding tube. Now that she's 2.5, she does do a lot of her food orally, but she still eats baby food and still struggles to get it down and keep it down. So when she was an infant, she could never keep anything down. The only thing that she stomached the best was pure breast milk, but I did not produce enough to keep up with twins. So I was purchasing breast milk from local moms and just reaching out and seeing if there was any moms out there that would let me buy some from them. And I would drive anywhere between 10 minutes down the road, but even like an hour away to go get milk so I could feed my baby. Because all the formulas, we tried everything. And every family was like, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? We tried everything. Formulas didn't work. We even tried camel formula from Egypt. Like we tried so many different things. My mother would say, hey, why don't you leave the babies here so you're not having to travel with infant twins an hour away and an hour back. I'll stay with the twins. You can go pick that up. At the time this started happening, so during the affair, part of the affair, he was working from home. Part of the affair, he had lost that work from home job, but was door dashing. So was still home a lot and had the ability to be home. But my point is that when I would leave to go pick up this breast milk, apparently that is when they would take advantage of being able to have an affair. And I've only ever heard my ex-husband's side of the story. I don't care to speak to my mother ever again. I haven't spoken to her almost 2 years. I don't care what her side of the story is. They both have proven that they're dishonest people. So it's not like anything they tell me I can really believe anyway. So I don't care to know her side of the story because it doesn't matter. So as far as who came on to who first, my mother has told some details to my grandmother, which is her mom, who has shared it with me. So the bits I do know of my mom's story that she didn't even tell me directly, they don't match his, of who came on to who first and whose idea it was. So
how do their sides differ?
His side I remember more because I've had 2 years now to talk to him a lot about it. We still have kids together, so I can't just say bye and never see him again. He's still actively in our daughter's lives, so therefore he's in my life. So his side I remember a lot more because we've talked about it in depth a lot. Obviously, he also recognized that he and I weren't doing the best because we were tired and frustrated and just not doing well. But apparently, while my mother was there all day, every day, not leaving, she had started a journal where she would pretend to write entries of how often I was feeding, bathing, holding, changing diapers, taking care of the babies compared to how many times she was. She started making up this fake journal of basically to prove that I don't do anything. Look at this. Like, I'm the one constantly changing their diapers. I'm the one constantly feeding them, not your wife. She doesn't even care about your children. She's neglecting your children. I'm the one raising your kids. She started offering, like, when he worked from home, I always would make him lunch, go bring it up to him. And so she started offering, oh, here, I'll go bring it up. You're feeding a baby. Like, I'll bring his lunch up to him. She started telling him that she was the one making his food. She doesn't even make you lunch. I make you lunch. I bring it to you every day. She's not even bringing you her lunch because she doesn't even care about you. Now, my mother is a very good liar. Very good. She could convince you that this brown shirt I'm wearing is purple and have proof and facts and evidence, and you would start to believe her. She's very, very good at lying. And he chose to believe her. To him, the journal was proof. And also, coincidentally, how she would try to help back up her lies is that she would say, Catherine, you look really tired. Do you want to go take a nap? Or do you want to, you know, go get out of the house and go get some fresh air? And so when those opportunities would happen, I'd say, yeah, I would love to do that. She would, after I'd be napping or out grocery shopping or whatever I'd be doing, she'd go up to my ex-husband and she'd say, hey, I really need help with the babies. She just decided to go take a nap right now. Like, she's literally napping. She's not even awake. I need help. So then he'd like leave his office where he's working. And sure enough, I'd be sleeping because my mom said, don't worry about it. So she started doing stuff like that to try to like back up her claims that I was neglecting the babies and didn't care about them.
Did he have any skepticism about why she would try and turn him against you? I'm assuming it just didn't start with like, oh my God, we're so attracted to each other. We're just going to sleep with each other. Did he at all be like, why are you bringing all of this proof about my wife to me? Like, what's going on?
No, because he's not the sharpest crayon in the box. In general, in life, he doesn't question anything that a normal person would question.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's probably just taking it as sympathy for maybe some of the grievances that he had. Like, oh, finally somebody understands what I'm going
through. Yeah. And also, he has mommy issues. His parents divorced when he was in middle school. His mom had an affair. When the divorce was finalized between his parents, his mom packed her stuff and moved out of state without the kids. So he's got mommy issues. He was abandoned by his mom. He was raised by a single dad. And on top of that, my ex-husband made a choice when he decided to have an affair with my mother. And he is not innocent. He made a choice. However, I also can recognize that my mother may have groomed him from a young age, because that is behavior that my mother has done before.
Talk to me a little bit about that specifically to your ex-husband.
When we were dating in high school, my mother would, in front of the whole family or friends or whoever was around, would always express her physical attraction toward my husband. She always would, on the cheek, hug and kiss him hello, which again, at the time, I didn't think anything bad of it. It's just now in hindsight that I can look back and see these things. In high school, I didn't think he was being groomed. It's just now I can look back and see certain things. Even in high school, she would ask him to rub her feet and he would.
So just crossing a boundary for sure in terms of...
Yes. Not things that were like, ooh, this is outright bad, but because of things I know my mother has done with other boys, I could only assume maybe other things that my husband didn't share.
Is your mother convicted of anything?
No, she's not. I don't have any proof or evidence that she's done anything. I just know what I've seen and what I've heard that obviously I can't prove. That's just a he said, she said situation.
So it's your own speculation is what you're telling.
Yes. But one of the affairs my mother had was with my little brother's childhood best friend. The affair that I know of started when he turned 18, but we've known this boy since he was five because my brother and him went to kindergarten together. Gotcha. And my mom was his kindergarten teacher. She has never been convicted of anything. I don't have evidence or proof that she's done. I mean, there's stuff that I know she's done. I just don't have the proof.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we won't defame anything.
Yeah, else. Exactly. Exactly. So a lot of stuff, it's like, I can't really speak on that because I know it happened because I saw it, but I don't have proof.
How did you discover them?
How did I discover the affair?
Yeah.
So around October, that is also around the time that I finally started to notice things that I thought were like, okay, that is weird. Because our family was weird. So a lot of the stuff that they would do when he was in high school or a young adult, I didn't think was weird at the time because it was just normal for my family. But around October, their physical touch started to change. Mm. So instead of greeting each other, you know, a side hug, hello, or a kiss on the cheek, hello, like a grandma would, your grandson, she started to like run to him and wrap her arms around his neck. And then he'd like swing her in a circle to greet her.
So I'm like, yeah, almost like when, like the stuff you talked about when they were in high school, just small changes in,
yeah,
like, calling it intimacies, it feels more personal than it is, but just sort of upping the level of,
yes, exactly. So not like, oh my gosh, they're having an affair, but it's like, oh, why are you hugging like that? That's a little weird.
Yeah.
And then instead of like, again, he would rub her feet in high school too, but it would be like a once or twice a year kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then it started to be, because she was at my house every day, it started to be a daily thing that come evening, once the babies were down for the night and we're just watching TV, hanging out, the three of us, me, my husband, and my mom, he would go grab the lotion and start rubbing her feet every single night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's weird. So little things like that started to happen where it's like, okay, I'm not like gung ho, they're having an affair, but like, why are you guys being so weird? There was one night in December, my mother had expressed she wanted to try marijuana for the first time. I don't know if you are allowed to talk about that on your podcast.
Yeah, girl, you can talk about anything.
Okay. She has never experimented with anything in her life at this time, except for like alcohol. And she didn't start drinking alcohol until she was in her 40s. So very inexperienced with any type of mind altering substance. But she had expressed the interest in wanting to try that. And my ex-husband, when he lived in Washington, partook in marijuana daily, all day, every day. And lessened more and more as he moved to where we live now since high school. But he is very familiar. And so I was like, okay, well, if that's something you are going to do, like you really should do that with people you trust and in a safe environment so that you're okay, especially if you don't like it. I've tried marijuana a few times in my life, well, more than a few, and I don't like it. And I tell myself every time, I'm never doing that again. And then I do it again and I regret it. I just don't like it. It's not my thing. But I was like, if you're going to try that, mom, then you should be in a safe environment. So we ended up introducing her to marijuana that night. I fell asleep on the couch. I was out. I was done for the count. Apparently that night, they slept in the same bed together, in mine and my husband's bed, because my mom's excuse, I have a really bad back, so I didn't want to sleep on the couch, and you were already on the couch.
Gotcha.
Weird. It's my mom, so I'm not like telling myself your mom's having an affair with your husband. Yep. So I'm just trying to think of any way to excuse this. So I'm just buying her excuse. Yeah, your mom does have a bad back. You're right. And she was very, very, very high, and she's never felt like that before. So I don't blame her for wanting to sleep in a bed. Like, okay. Weird, but all right, fine. I excused it, because I would never want to think that was happening. But obviously now, hindsight, I'm just like, girl, you freaking idiot. So that was definitely at the time the biggest like red flag. But again, anytime these little things or bigger things would happen, I would just be like, nope, you're crazy. Why is your mind even going there? That would never happen.
It's the last person you would expect would ever sleep with your husband.
Yes. I mean, I didn't expect an affair with anybody, but let alone your mom. Like, it'd be so different if it was some chick he found on Tinder or the neighbor or whatever. Who else? Anyone else? A coworker who actually didn't have coworkers. He worked from home and then got fired. But still, like, not my mom. So anytime my mind would kind of go there and be like, is something happening? I'd be like, no. Because again, there wasn't anything like I witnessed them kissing or I witnessed them, something that's like for certain, you know, intimate.
So you never like walked in on them or like found out. So how did you discover that the affair was happening? Or did you just confront and say, hey, I feel like something weird going on?
So I have been in my own mind having these thoughts for months now that something's happening. Something's going on. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Just this internal battle in my head. So fast forward to February, and my grandma's over at my house, just her and the babies, of course. And my grandma is like, Catherine, I kind of need to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, okay, what's up? And she's like, I don't really even know how to say this, but I guess I'm just going to say it. And she was like, I just feel like I have been seeing some really inappropriate behavior between your mom and your husband. And I was like, me too. Part of me was devastated that I wasn't the only one, but part of me felt so validated that like, I'm not crazy. I'm not a bad daughter. I'm not a bad wife for thinking that this is a possibility, because someone else does too. So part of me felt just so validated. And the other part of me was crushed. But like, oh God, no, I don't want to be right about this. And so similarly, the things she had witnessed also was not like, boom, there's an affair happening. She had witnessed a lot of the weird hugging, just like I did. And then she had told me that one day when I was gone getting breast milk or at the store, wherever I wasn't home. I was running an errand. My grandma had stayed with the babies. And as she was there with the babies, my mother showed up at the house. And when she showed up and my husband greeted her, he greeted her by saying, oh, hi, precious. And in my grandma's head, she's like, precious? Why the hell are you calling her precious? And she's right there in the room, so they didn't hide it. But she didn't say anything. She just, you know, kept tending to babies and minding her business and just was like, that was odd. Doesn't prove an affair, but just, that was weird. And then on a separate occasion, my grandmother had stopped by my parents' house when they were both home. My grandma lived three doors down from my parents, literally three houses down. So they were very close. So it wasn't abnormal for grandma to just pop in, or for us to just pop in at her house, because we were three doors away from each other. So she popped in for whatever reason. But as she was there, my husband showed up unexpectedly with a gift for my mom. Hey, I just stopped by. I just wanted to bring this for you. No one else in my family, just my mom. I just brought you this. It was a gift. And then he left. But in my grandma's head, she's like, why are you buying her gifts? It's not Mother's Day. It's not her birthday. It's not Christmas. Like, what? Why are you getting her a gift? So those are the only like specifics that she had brought up with me in the conversation. And then I shared stuff with her that I had started to see and witness. And I was like, grandma, like, are they having an affair? And she's like, I don't know, honey. I really don't know. Do I think they are? No. But do I know that they're not? No. So I was like, what do? Do I confront them? Do I call them out? And she's like, well, if you and I don't have hard proof, hard evidence, and we're wrong, that is a huge accusation to make if it's not actually happening. That could ruin your relationship with your husband, with your mom, with your siblings, with your dad, if we're wrong. I think that's a big risk to take. unless we have proof. So she said, if it were me, I would not try to call them out on anything yet until something happens where you know without any uncertainty that that is what's happening. She ended up going home, and that is coincidentally the night that I found out about the affair, was the night my grandma and I had that conversation. The conversation was in the morning, but later that day in the evening, that's when I found out.
How did you find out?
Okay, at this point in time, he's still DoorDashing all these months just to pay the mortgage. He did not get a new job yet. And when he would DoorDash, he would always tell me, hey, this is the time frame I'm going to DoorDash from this time to this time. I'll be home around this time. I never cared when he DoorDashed because I wanted the bills paid. So you DoorDash whenever you want to. So I never made like an expectation that you need to tell me when you're going to be gone and when you're going to be home. He created that expectation that he was going to tell me. And the way that DoorDash works is like, you can only work when it's busy enough. So you can't just work whenever you want to. The app has to tell you, yeah, it's busy enough that you can work. And so the app will tell you, you can work from this time to this time. And once that time cuts off, you can, the app won't let you work anymore. It won't continue to give you orders to pick up. However, if during your shift, it gets busier, then sometimes the app will say, hey, we know you only wanted to work till this time, but it's actually busy. So do you want to extend? So sometimes that would happen. And he'd say, hey, I know I said I'd be home at this time, but now I'm actually going to be home later. Okay, cool. Sounds good. He really just let me know so I knew if I needed to have dinner ready or not. So I never cared when he came home. But the point is that the night I found out, he told me he'd be home by a certain time. And when 30 minutes past that time came and I hadn't heard from him, I called him to be like, hey, give me an ETA. Like, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. So let me know if I need to get cooking or if I can hit the hay. And when we talked in our relationship, we FaceTimed much more than we texted or called each other. We were just FaceTimer kind of people. So I FaceTimed him when I called him and I was like, hey, where are you at? Are you going to be home soon? I thought you'd be home like half an hour ago. And he just said, oh, I totally lost track of time. I'm so sorry. I just finished my last delivery. I'm in the city right now, a city that's like 20 minutes from our house, but I should be home soon. Don't worry about cooking. I'll just hit a drive-through on my way home. And I was like, oh, okay, sounds good. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to let you go because I'm driving. So I'll see you. I'll talk to you later. And that comment was weird for a couple reasons. It was weird, first of all, because even though it's not safe, we always FaceTimed while we drove anyway. We have like those like magnetic things you can like put your phone on. So it's like your hands are on the wheel, but like you're still on the phone. So my point is he would never have hung up with me just because he's driving. And second, that was weird because since we're on FaceTime and I can see him, I can see that he's not driving. He's parked because I could see him. So I'm like, you're not driving. I'm literally looking at you. You're parked. And he's like, Oh, yeah. I pulled over when you called, so I wouldn't be driving. And I was like, okay, you've never done that before. That's weird. He's like, yeah. So anyway, no big deal. Like I'll hit a drive through and I'll be home. So I should be home in like 20 minutes, maybe 25. And I was like, okay. And then I don't know what was said. I couldn't make out, but I could hear some female voice in the background, like whispering something. And he looking at me instead of looking at me, kind of like turned to his passenger seat toward that whispering voice and then looked back at me. And I was like, who are you with? And he said, no one. And he hung up on me. And I called him back and I was like, who the fuck are you with? And he's like, I'm not with anybody. I'm not with anybody right now. And I was like, okay, bullshit. You're lying about not driving because I can see you. And also, by the way, since I can see you, I can see those buildings behind you in your driver's side window. And that's the movie theater that's like 10 minutes from our house that in the city we live in, not the city you say that you're in. So you're not even where you say you are. Like, so what's going on? You're lying about driving. You're lying about where you are. You're lying about being with someone. You're hanging up on me. What the fuck is going on? And he's like, yeah, I am. I'm not where we live. No, I'm not. I'm in this city. And I'm like, dude, look behind you. I can see the freaking like LED, not LED, the neon movie theater lights. Like that is a building that sticks out like a sore thumb. You know, a movie theater when you see a movie theater. I know where you are. And he continued to argue with me, calling me crazy and saying I don't trust him. But finally, once he realizes, oh shit, you can see those buildings. I can't keep lying about this. He finally admits, okay, you're right. I'm not in that city. I'm like 5 minutes, 10 minutes from our house. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. I know. I see you. And I thought I made that clear. So who the F are you with? And he's like, I'm not with anybody. You should trust me. You're crazy.
I trust you right after you just lied to my face.
What? No, geez, not very bright. So he hangs up on me again and my heart is just freaking pounding. And I just have like a full blown panic attack. I am sobbing. I am crying because I know what I heard. I couldn't tell you what was said, but I know a woman's voice. When you know, like I'm not crazy this time. I know I'm not. And you are not going to try to gaslight me and tell me that I'm crazy when I'm not this time. So after like a few minutes, I calm myself down and I get my shit together so I can call him again. I'm just like, who the fuck are you with right now? Why are you lying? What is happening? If you're being honest and I'm crazy and I should trust you, prove yourself right. Prove yourself right. Prove that I'm crazy. Prove that I'm wrong and show me the passenger seat. So he goes, okay, I will. And turns the camera and it's empty. But mind you, he hung up on me and I freaking cried for 5 minutes before I called him back. So I was like, okay, so you just expect me to believe that whoever was with you didn't jump out of the car and is hiding outside right now? And he just kept calling me crazy. He's like, I'll be home in a few minutes. And he hung up on me again. I had just had that conversation that morning with my grandma. And so I'm just like, holy shit, it's got to be my mom. It's got to be my mom. But don't think that. But it has to be. How can I prove it? I have no way to prove it. But it dawned on me that my little sister at that time still lived at home. And so I called her and I threw my tears and my weeping. I was like, sister, do you know if mom's home? After, you know, making sure, like, are you okay? Are the babies okay? What's going on? Why are you crying? She was like, I don't know. I'm in bed right now. And I was like, okay, I really need you to do me a favor and discreetly go see if mom's home. Why? What's going on? Is everything okay? Like, why? And I was like, sister, please, please just go check. Please just go look in their room and see if mom's home. And she's like, ugh. Okay, I don't want to keep this from you. And she shares with me that a few hours earlier, my husband had stopped by their house to pick up my mom and they told her we're going to go door dashing together. Now, here's some backstory on that because my sweet baby sister has been getting shit on in the comments because people only know what I decided to share in a 5 minute video. They don't know all the details. Since my ex-husband was door dashing at the time, I missed him. I did not hardly see him. And so I told him, like, one of these days, can I come with you? Can my mom watch the girls, or maybe my little sister or my grandma, can they watch the girls so I can just spend some time with you? I miss you. I hardly see you. And then we just never were able to work it out, the schedule of everybody working together, so I could do that. So they didn't want my sister to tell me so that she didn't get offended that we were going door dashing before her, because they know she wants to go door dashing. Now, is that weird? Yes, it's very fucking weird. But our family was very weird. Our family was not normal. So for my mother and my husband to go door dashing together wasn't necessarily a weird thing for our family. In my head with my sister, like, okay, that's weird. Yes. But she wasn't thinking, oh my God, they're having an affair, because she didn't see any of those weird things I saw or the weird things my grandma saw. She didn't see any of that. So she has zero thoughts in her head about anybody having an affair other than my mom with all those other men she was having an affair with. But as far as my husband goes, she had no inkling at all whatsoever. And when my husband went to go pick up my mom, our father walked our mom to his car. So our dad knew that he was picking my mom up to go door dashing. So again, in my little sister's eyes, she's like, okay, my dad is walking my mom to Catherine's husband's car. Mom's at their freaking house all day, every day anyway. So she's not thinking an affair is happening. Sure, is that weird? Yes, it's weird. But our family was really fucking weird. So for our family, it wasn't abnormal. Her mind was, okay, yeah, I guess we don't want to hurt Catherine's feelings. So, all right, fine. So anyway, after I got off the phone, was talking to her and she was like, I don't want to hide this from you. And she told me that. I was like, I think they're having an affair. And so that's the first time she's heard anything about an affair. So she's like, I'm sorry, what? What the fuck are you talking about? She's like, no, they're not. She's disgusted. She's weirded out. She's like, what are you smoking? Like, no, they're not. Why would you think that? Like, Catherine, no, your husband loves you. You're like, that's our mom. Like, you're literally our mom's best friend. Like, no, like, there's no way they're doing that. They're really just going door dashing. Like, I promise, like, there's nothing like that happening. But again, she hasn't seen all the stuff I've seen or my grandma has seen. And I'm not about to go tell my little baby sister all of that, because it doesn't matter. I got my proof. I knew they were together. So I'm like, I love you so much. Pray for me, because this is not going to be a fun night. So I got off the phone with my sister and I end up calling my mom now, because now I know they're together. I have proof now. I have evidence. I have proof they're together and they're hiding that they're together. If this is so innocent, why is this such a secret? Why are you getting out of the car to hide from me if this is so innocent? So she answers the phone after I call her 8 times. And when she finally answers, she just goes, what, Catherine? And I'm just sobbing and crying because I just can't believe this is reality and that this is actually happening. So I tell her, just tell me why. And I can hear my ex going, put it on speaker. And she's like, what? And I was like, just tell me why. And she goes, why I'm with your husband? And then I said, yes. And then she goes on a tangent about her having a really bad day today. And me and your dad have just been fighting so much. because of all her affairs. And your husband knew I was having a bad day. And so he ended up calling me a few hours to check in on me and offered to get me out of the house to get some fresh air. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I said, okay, well, husband, since I know I'm on speaker, before you take her home, you both need to get to our house so that we can have a little chat. And I hung up, or he hung up. I don't remember who hung up. The phone hung up. And now I'm like, oh shit, I'm about to confront my mother and husband. And one thing I mentioned in my previous videos I've posted on my TikTok that I didn't mention yet so far, so I don't know if you've seen this, but another red flag thing that happened between the two of them when my husband was in high school, when he was a young adult, as recent as 2 years ago, a comment they have both made at least a dozen times with multiple witnesses, including my dad, my siblings, my friends, like anybody who knows me has heard them say this. My husband and my mother would say, if Catherine and her dad simultaneously somehow died, we would totally end up together. And they started saying that when my husband was 16. Big red flag. I know. I don't know how... I was very neglected. I was very brainwashed. I swear I probably had some form of like Stockholm syndrome. I was just in denial. I'm so embarrassed now looking back at all the signs that I ignored. I'm so embarrassed. Now I'm realizing like, oh my God, I'm about to confront these two and I'm alone. Like all I have are my sleeping infants upstairs in their room and I'm about to confront them about having an affair. I cannot do this by myself. I'm not about to call my baby sister again who has severe anxiety and put this on her. My older sister is never someone I would ever go to lean on for support just because she won't give it. But I was like, I cannot do this by myself. So I had already talked to my grandma about it that morning. So I called my grandma and she's the kind of person where she goes to bed at like 8 p.m. and leaves her phone on silent on her kitchen counter. She doesn't even take her phone in her room with her. So I was like, and at this point now it's like 10:30 or 11 at night. So I'm like, there's no way she's going to hear this. But I just kept calling and calling and calling. Gosh, I'm sure if I could see myself from a third person perspective during that moment, I probably looked like I needed a straitjacket. I was just screaming into my phone that was ringing, begging for my grandma to answer the phone. And somehow from in her bedroom away from the kitchen, she heard the buzzing on the counter and answered the phone. And I'm just like, I don't even know how she understood what I said, but I'm like, I just found out that they're having an affair. I called them. She just cut me off. She's like, I'm on my way now. Like I said earlier, my parents and my grandma lived three doors down from each other. And I live in the subdivision neighborhood across the street from theirs. So we're like, they're 2 minutes from me. So luckily she gets to my house in like 2 or 3 minutes, maybe a minute before my husband and my mom show up at the house. Now, while I was calling my mom and saying, finding out they're together and calling my grandma, I didn't know this. But simultaneously, after I got off the phone with my baby sister, she was like, oh man, my sister really thinks that there is an affair happening and she is by herself right now. Like, I need to go comfort her and love on her and like try to get, like talk to her and tell her like this isn't happening. Like, I can't just leave, go back to sleep knowing that my sister is in distress. So she gets out of bed, gets dressed, and it's like, I'm going to her house. So she's coming down the stairs because her bedroom's upstairs. And when she's coming down, she can see my dad sleeping in the recliner in the living room. Because at this point, my parents are fighting about my mom's affairs. And so they're not even sharing a bed at the time. So when she comes down the stairs, she wakes up our dad and he's like, what's going on? And so she tells him, Catherine thinks that mom and her husband are having an affair. So I'm heading over there right now. Do you want to come? And he said, no, I went back to sleep. Now thinking about it, I'm like, your daughter just told you that your other daughter thinks your wife and her husband are having an affair and you're just like, nah, whatever, don't care, I'm just gonna keep sleeping.
Well, I can imagine at that point, like if he and his wife had been fighting about having multiple affairs with other men, he's like, what's one more?
And sure, if it was any other man, but I'm her baby, I'm her daughter. Like, sure, if you don't give a shit about that woman, fine, but what about me? My grandma shows up and I fill her in as quickly as I can about what just happened with my phone calls with him and with my mom. And eventually they show up. And as soon as they show up, they both try to come and hug me. And I push them off of me. I say, don't fucking touch me. Then at some point, my little sister walks through the door I had no idea she was even coming. And so when she comes in, I have like a sectional couch. So I'm sitting like in the corner in like the L of the couch. And my mom is on one side of me. My husband's on the other side of me. So I'm sandwiched in between them. My grandma is sitting on the other side of the sectional across the freaking room. So I am feeling like freaking sandwiched between these people that I think are having an affair. I'm so uncomfortable. uncomfortable. And when my sister comes in, she just like climbs on the couch and wedges herself between the corner and me and just like holds me as I am just sobbing and crying. It just holds me. And eventually I look my husband in his eyes and I say to him point blank, I say, "Are you fucking my mom?" And he just says with no emotion on his face, not even a raised eyebrow, he just looks at me and just says, "No." And then I look at my mom and I said, "Are you fucking my husband?" And she has a look on her face, but her look is sinister. I have never seen a human being look as, because I'm crazy, but demonic as she did. I swear her eyes were black. Like she looked as if it were just me and her in that room, she would have killed me. She had no remorse, no shock, no, "Oh my gosh, what? No, Catherine, absolutely not." Nothing like that. I mean, if I was asked something like that I did not do, I would be baffled and trying to convince my loved one, absolutely not, that's not happening. But that was not her reaction. Through her, what are these called, pierced lips and her furrowed brow, she looked at me and she said, "No, I would never cross that boundary." And I know they're full of shit. Because again, at this point, now that I've called them out, if it really wasn't an affair happening, that is not how an innocent person would respond. If I ever, ever was accused of doing anything heinous, not even just an affair, but anything heinous toward a person I love, and they asked me about it and it wasn't true, like I would be doing anything and everything to convince them that that's the case. And reassure them and show them that I love them and show compassion. And none of that was happening. So I just knew. So I just told my mom, "I have nothing else to say to you, so you can get the hell out of my house." Earlier in the conversation, I can't remember if this was before or after my sister showed up, but my mother had made that same excuse about, "I had a really bad day today. And I just been really struggling with your dad and la, 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 la. And your husband reached out to me." And my grandma at one point did chime in and she was like, "First of all, why is your son-in-law the person you go to when you're having a bad day? Like, that's not appropriate." And this is my mom's mom. She's like, "That's not appropriate. If you're having a bad day, you go to your spouse or maybe your best friend. If you're having an issue with your spouse, then you go to a friend, me, your mom, a therapist. You don't go to your son-in-law for emotional support." So even my grandma had called her out, you know, on her inappropriate behavior. So anyway, eventually I kick my mom out of my house. My husband jumps up off the couch. "I'll take you home. I'll take you home." And my grandma's like, "No, you stay here with your wife. I will take her home." They live three doors down from each other anyway. My little sister's like, "Okay, well, I want to make sure you're okay." So she still stays for a little while. Eventually, one or both of the babies had woken up. I could hear them crying upstairs. So I hop up and just run up to my babies and scoop them both up and just hold them and cry. And my little sister comes with me and my husband tries to follow me too and take one of the babies from my arms. And I'm like, "Don't touch them. I got it. I don't need your help. I got it." So then he goes to our bed and lays down and goes to sleep. And my sister stays with me in the nursery with the babies for a little while before she's like, "What do you want me to do, Catherine? Do you want me to stay? Like, I will stay with you. What do you want me to do? What can I do?" And I told her, "There's nothing you can do." And I thanked her for coming because I did not expect her to come at all. It felt so much better having someone there, you know, feeling safe. But that's my baby sister. Like, I don't want to have my baby sister taking care of me. I should be the one taking care of her. So I told her, "Don't worry about it. Go home. I'll be okay." I finally got the girls back down and in bed. And after I left the nursery, I was not about to go climb into bed with my husband. So I just went back downstairs and sat on the couch until the sun came up.
Oh my God.
My grandma had texted me around like 7:30-ish saying, "How are you? How did the rest of the evening go? Are you okay?" And I told my grandma, I was like, I need to talk to my dad. Like, he needs to know about this. Like, I have to talk to him. I told her, my husband hasn't woken up yet and I am not prepared to face him. So is there any chance you'd be willing to come over to just make sure my babies are okay and stay with them so that I can go talk to my dad? I didn't not trust my husband with our kids, but if he was capable of doing what he did, I didn't know what else he was capable of. I didn't trust him at this point. So I just didn't feel comfortable leaving my babies with him because I didn't know who this guy was anymore. So that's why I called my grandma. And so she's like, absolutely, I'll come. So she did. I tried to call my dad, but he wasn't answering the phone. He wasn't available. No, he wasn't answering. But I'm like, I emotionally and mentally cannot handle facing my husband when he comes up, when he wakes up and comes down here. Like, I'm not prepared for that. So like, I just, I can't be here right now. So my grandma was like, well, why don't you go over to your older sister's house? She lives in the subdivision next to my parents. My grandparents were all like on the same corner, the same crossroads. So she's also like 2 minutes from me. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. So I go to my big sister's house and I fill her in on everything from the night before and all the signs I've been seeing for the last few months. And that's when she confides in me that she did a few months back witness some inappropriate physical relations between my mom and husband that she never shared with me. She had shared that 2 months prior on Christmas when all of us were at mom and dad's house. Most of the family was in the living room at the time, but my sister had gone into the kitchen to grab something to eat because we always have all kinds of goodies and treats set out on Christmas Day. And when she walked into the kitchen, my mother and husband were already in there. They were clothed, but my mother was bent over the kitchen counter with my husband's groin pressed up and grinding against her behind. And I guess my sister just turned back around and walked back out and didn't say a word to anybody about it, to anybody. So she had shared that with me.
Do you wish she had said something when she had seen something?
Absolutely. I wish she would have said something to them right then and there. Like, I don't know, maybe what the fuck are you guys doing? I can understand the shock and fear maybe of not being able to, just because maybe you're just in shock and you don't know what to do or say. But because I remember Christmas, I can't imagine myself witnessing something like that and then just pretending like it never happened the whole day. I can understand the shock and the surprise, but that whole day my sister acted normal toward me. She talked to me. We hung out. We were there at that house for like 12 hours that day. So I just don't know how my sister could have witnessed something like that and then just acted like it never happened and just hung out with me, talked to me, with the whole family, with our mom, with my husband. Like, I just don't know how you can witness something like that and not say something to anybody.
Do you hold resentment to this day about that?
I would more so say I'm disappointed in her. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm resentful because my sister has her own issues too. I'm just disappointed in her. I think that my older sister is a very selfish person and cares about herself more than others. When everything happened, I found out about the affair in February. And from February to November, I think I saw and heard from her 3 times. And then come November, she was posting on social media about hanging out with our parents. They went to fucking Disneyland together. And I just decided right then and there that you don't care about me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to beg you to care about me or my kids. So I just decided right then and there to go no contact. And I haven't heard from her since.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I'm not resentful toward her. I'm just disappointed in her.
How did the rest of your family take this? I mean, obviously your grandma had suspicions, but like...
I mean, my grandma still sees her occasionally because that's her baby. I mean, I hate that she still sees her. Like, part of me hates that she still sees her, but the other part of me gets it because I'm a mom and I can't picture my kids doing anything that would make me never see them again. I can picture them doing things that would not be okay. And I would be disgusted by, but I can't imagine not ever seeing or speaking to my daughters again. I love daughters more than I love oxygen in my lungs. So part of me gets it because I'm a mom, but my grandma really has only seen her, I don't know, 4 times in the last almost 2 years. Like, she's only seen her on like her birthday, Christmas, Easter, stuff like that.
Just because she can't stomach the confrontation. Why be apart from her?
Why be apart from her?
Yeah. If you're only going to see your daughter. Oh. Times in the last
because a lot of our family abandoned me when everything happened. And in my grandma's words, I can't be another person to abandon Catherine.
It seems like they sided with your mom. Why would they do that?
My older sister would do that because she is the kind of person that really needs a lot of attention in order to feel like she has any self-worth or value. I don't think she has a sense actually of self-worth or value. I think she gets her sense of worth from validation from others. And so my whole childhood growing up, it was always a constant fight and battle for attention. But really, she was the only one fighting for it, not me. She always did so many things to get attention, even if it was negative attention. She just wanted attention, no matter what kind it was. Now she gets all the attention she wants because she's not having to share it. For those, how many months was that? From February to like November, 11 to 9 months. For 9 months after the worst thing that could have ever happened to me happened, she only saw me like three times. Like she doesn't have sympathy or empathy for others. She never has. That's not something new. But I think this is just finally my last straw with it because of the severity of what had happened. So I wasn't surprised that she stuck with mom.
What about your other siblings?
My baby sister has been no contact with our parents since I've been no contact with them. And then my little brother, he's still attached to our mom's teat. So I haven't spoken to my brother since before I even found out about the affair. That's how long it's been since I've talked to him. Yeah. Last time I talked to him was in January of 2022. And I found out about the affair in February.
What was it like to finally cut things off with your husband? Did you feel relieved when you finally served in papers?
Oh, no. I still don't feel relieved.
Really?
I don't know if I'm ever going to feel relief. I can't just cut him off. You know, he's going to be in my life until I die because we have kids together. So I can't have that clean break like I can with my parents or my siblings where it's just done, bye, never have to talk to you again. It still hurts. It doesn't ever not hurt. It's better now than it was 2 years ago, but it still hurts, especially now that, you know, it's holiday time and it just sucks. So the hurt's not gone, but it's better because there is zero contact, zero connection. So it makes it easy to be able to heal and not move on, but move through life.
Yeah.
Now that I've had that cut, but I can't do that with my ex-husband. I don't have that choice. When I left, when I served him with papers, none of it felt good. It was sad. It was so sad.
Did you do it immediately or did you want to kind of work on things? Did it take a while or?
The day after I left and the day they finally came clean was the day after I caught them. Because eventually after I talked to my sister and she told me what she found out about, eventually I did talk to my dad. He finally answered me. So I talked to my dad and why is that relevant? What was the question you just asked?
Did you want to work on it or did you?
I want to work on it. Yeah. So that day after I talked to my sister, eventually I talked to my dad. I eventually talked to my husband again, and then he came clean about the affair. And so when he finally came clean about it and admitted it, and now it's not just me accusing, he admitted it. That day, I took the three suitcases we owned, packed them as much as I could with the necessities that me and two 11-month-old babies would need, and I left. A couple hours after I left, my mother moved into my house with my husband.
They just continued it on?
Yep.
For how long? And
12 days.
It only lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah. So the day after I moved out of my house and my mother moved into my house, that next day I started interviewing attorneys. Wow. I probably over the next like 3 days, probably had 10 or 12, give or take a dozen, interviewing attorneys before I picked one to hire. Even though what my husband did was heinous, he's not a danger to our children. So most custody situations are 50-50, but I was not about to just settle for 50% custody knowing that my husband was going to raise our children in an environment where he's going to teach them that their grandma is their stepmom and their mom is their sister. Like, how psychologically damaging is that going to be on my kids? Like, that is psychological abuse. I am not going to just agree to 50%. Absolutely not. So I needed a cutthroat lawyer. So I think after like, I don't know, it feels like it was about 3 days, but within 3 days, I hired my attorney and then they started working on paperwork to get him served. And so it was day 12 after moving out that he got served papers. And a couple hours after he got served, he kicked my mom out.
Wow. Do you think it was because it kind of hit him that he was like, I'm going to lose
100%. Yeah. And I knew I wasn't going to get 100% custody, but in my divorce papers that he got served, I was filing for 100% custody. So I'm sure when my husband read that, he probably shit his pants and was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to lose my kids. And thank God, at least he loves his children more than he loved my mom. Didn't love me more than her, but at least he he loved our kids more than her. So he dumped her the day he got served and kicked her out of the house that day.
Do you think if you had filed for 50% custody, they would have stuck around longer together?
Oh, absolutely. He told me later on, like I said, we've had lots of opportunities to talk about this now. So last year at some point, he had shared with me what their plan was the whole time if they hadn't gotten caught.
What was their plan? And
their plan was to keep their affair hidden as a secret, but my mom would end up telling my dad she wants a divorce. That'd be easy because she could just blame it on any of their other affairs. They were already fighting. And then my husband would ask me for a divorce. Who knows what excuse he would have come up with. My parents would have gotten divorced. My husband and I would have gotten divorced. They were going to keep hiding their affair for a while and wait probably around 6 months, is what he said, of the divorce being finalized. And then they were going to fake that all of a sudden it just started. It just happened. We were bonding together and venting over our grief from our divorces, and it just happened. They were going to hide that any affair took place before the divorce. They were just going to pretend it just started roughly six months after the divorces were finalized.
So he had real feelings for your mom.
Yeah. When he admitted to me about the affair and came clean, I was smart enough to pull up my phone and record that whole conversation. So I have his confession on tape. And he told me, and I have it on video, how in love he is with her and that he wants to marry her. And
when did his feelings start? Like, was it recent or was it so far back that it was even like when he was in high school with you?
He said it didn't. Again, who knows if I fucking believe him. But he says the feelings didn't start until December, which was only 2 months prior. But I don't know how in 2 months you can decide you want to destroy your whole family and get married.
I'm so sorry. This must be so traumatizing for you. And now you have to raise. I mean, I know you didn't get 100% custody. So yeah, you're completely raising your daughters on your own. But I mean, that's still incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Luckily, I did end up getting awarded with primary custody. So I do have majority custody, but not 100%. How do I word this? I wouldn't say he's a good dad because a good dad wouldn't do what he did. However, he is very good with our daughters.
Yeah.
So luckily there's that. Co-parenting is very easy, thank goodness, with him. From the moment they were born at 29 weeks to now, I have never had to ask him to change a diaper, ask him to feed a baby. I've never had to give him direction. I've never had to correct how he's done something because he learned how to parent from me. He watched what I did and he copies it exactly. So luckily, I never have to worry about their care when they're with their father because he parents them the way I want them parented because that's where he learned how to parent from. Yeah. So luckily, co-parenting is quote unquote easy. You know, we're civil. We get along with each other for the sake of our children as much as we can. It's hard.
How are you taking care of you during this time? I mean, have you thought about therapy? Are you talking to somebody?
I was in therapy for a few months after it happened. I was fortunate enough to find this organization in the city I live in that is primarily for helping women and children get out of domestic violence situations. And so many people when this happened encouraged me to reach out. And I'm like, I don't think that includes me. Like, I wasn't physically abused. Like, that's for women who are like in danger and children that are in danger. Like, I don't want to take resources from other women and children. And finally, one of the people who was connected in that organization reached out to me and they were like, yes, we are for you. We want to help you. And so then I learned that domestic violence, by definition, doesn't necessarily have to mean that there was a physical assault involved. And I really got more educated on what domestic violence is and was able to get free therapy through that organization and unpack a lot of stuff from my childhood that I didn't know was abuse and finding out that it was. Things in my marriage that I didn't know was emotional or mental or financial abuse, but it was. I just didn't know it was. So for a while, I was getting help through that organization. But again, I eventually got to a point where it's like, I felt bad for taking resources from that organization. And the therapist that I was seeing is only, since it's free, they were like, I don't know what the title's called, but I guess for lack of the correct terminology, because I don't know it, but like a intern therapist. They weren't done with school yet. And so they were still under like supervision of like a head person because they were still in training, I guess, for that kind of licensing or something. And so eventually summer break came for the woman who was my counselor therapist. And so she was gone for a few months. And then I just never went back after summer break.
Oh, gosh.
And now even if I did go elsewhere to get, you know, therapy, I don't have a lot of sources for who can watch my girls. I don't have a lot of options. Their dad works full time and my sister works full time and my grandma is 70 years old. I don't have a lot of outlets for where my kids can go. One of my daughters is disabled and has a feeding tube, so she's not eligible for daycares. They won't take her. I've called probably like, I don't know, over a dozen local daycares in the city I live in and none of them will take her because of her feeding tube. So I just don't have the option. I did try for a few months virtual therapy, but I just didn't benefit from it as much as being in person. I know a lot of people do, but for me, I do better with face-to-face interaction.
As somebody who does like this virtual interview thing, it's easy to have a conversation and pick up on like social cues and like, like for example, like when someone's talking or whatever. What would you say is the biggest takeaway you've taken from the therapy?
I think the biggest thing I learned that I've been sharing with a lot of people who, since my videos have gone viral, have been like reaching out to me saying, I've been through something similar, and something that I've been sharing with them that was shared with me that really hit me deeply is that if you're a person who in life often finds yourself having to be the bigger person in situations, whether it's your partner, a family member, a friend, if you always find yourself having to be the bigger person all the time and just take the nastiness that you're being given by people, then maybe you shouldn't surround yourself with such small people that makes you have to be the bigger person.
Yeah.
Don't surround yourself with small people. And I've learned how to find my own sense of self-worth and self-value and not having to obtain that by the approval of others.
Knowing what you know now about your relationship and the things that you've learned in therapy in terms of it being emotional abuse or financial abuse.
Yeah.
If you could reverse time, knowing that you could still get your kids out of this somehow.
Yes.
Is there a moment in your relationship you would tell yourself to get out?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And there's no way to ever know this. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to know this for sure, but I like to think, because it makes me feel good to believe this, I like to believe that my children were meant to be my children, that who they are inside, that spirit or that soul, those were supposed to be my kids no matter what. So I like to think that had I had children with somebody else one day, that those would still be my kids. They might look different, but I like to think that my kids would still be my kids. And so if I could go back, I never would have married him when 2 weeks before the wedding, he told me he didn't want to have kids anymore. Because I think that I just got married because eventually he changed his mind and he would have kids with me. And I think he just decided, all right, fine, I'll just get married because at least she'll compromise. Like, I don't think either of us were really getting married at the end of the day for the reasons why we should have. I think that I got married hoping I could change him. And I think he got married because can't back out now.
He felt cornered.
That's what I think. He's never expressed that, but I would be very surprised based off of the person I know that he is. I would be surprised if he ever remarries again. He's not somebody who wants to have to take care of somebody. He doesn't want to have to provide and be responsible for a partner.
So you don't see him and your mom getting back together anytime soon is what you're saying?
No, definitely not. I think that he knows better than to try to do that again, because I have a very good attorney.
Why do you think he went with the affair at all? Like, what do you, not to be like, what's the appeal? But I mean, what do you think he was getting
out of? One, he and I were not doing well at the time because of stress from preemie babies and coming home. So we weren't getting along. So I think that he was already just in a vulnerable state, wanting to be validated for his frustration or angers. And I think my mother was the one giving him that when I wasn't, because I also wanted to be validated and why I'm frustrated. And he does not have, and I'm not saying this just to be a jerk, he does not have friends. He does not have one male friend that he hangs out with, that he goes to, that he talks to. Not one. And his parents are divorced. At the time, he had been no contact with his dad for 6 years, hadn't spoken to his dad in 6 years. His mom abandoned him when he was like 12 or 13 years old. And I think my mom took advantage of that. And I think that he was weak-minded and was willing to take the attention that he was being offered.
So you mentioned in your journey with therapy, you've worked a lot on your self-worth. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and how it's gotten you to where you are today?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, because some stuff I definitely took from therapy that I learned, but also, I don't know how to word this and making it sound good, but so many times in my therapy sessions, the therapist that I would see would express to me how they don't understand how I was so confident, and that already I was figuring out my value even before therapy. Therapy helped for sure, but even so many times, like, they would check on me and you know, ask me things like, do you ever blame yourself for what happened? And I'd be like, absolutely not. I didn't do anything wrong. They did. They would ask me if I ever felt ashamed or embarrassed about what happened. And I'm like, no, I didn't do anything. They did. So even like sometimes in my therapy sessions, they would say, you know, like, you're processing this so much better than an average person who goes through something like this would. Like, how are you so vibrant still? Not that I was okay, because I wasn't okay, but so how are you still going on as well as you're going on considering your situation? And I think that most of my ability to keep moving on and know my worth and know my value is because of my daughters. You know, one day they're going to grow up and they're going to ask, hey, mommy, how come you and daddy aren't married? Like, my friends' moms and daddies are married. And I don't know how I'm going to answer that. And I'm sure my answer when they're 6 years old versus 13 versus 25 versus whatever, I'm sure the answer is going to be different each time. But eventually a day's going to come where they're going to know what happened and why they don't have grandparents and why we don't talk to my aunts and uncles. Like, they're going to know the answer one day. And I don't look forward to that day. But when it comes, I know how much heartache it's going to cause. And I can't change that. But what I do have control over is them knowing how mama handled it. And I want them to know that mom handled this with grace. And if I want my children to grow up confident and knowing their value and worth, because their example of how they should be treated by a man is not very good, they've got to get that worth and that value from me. And the only way they're going to do that is if I set that example. Even if there's days where I don't feel like getting out of bed and I just want to cry and blame myself, because it's not that I don't ever do that, but I just choose not to let myself go there, because I want my daughters to grow up and be proud of me. I want them to boast and brag and be proud that that's my mom. I don't want them to be ashamed that I'm their mom.
Good for you, super mom. Any final words of wisdom or just life lessons that you've learned from this horrible situation? You want the best, you know?
I would say that if you find yourself in a situation that is similar to my experience in any way, shape, or form, I would say that creating boundaries is okay. And if you decide to create a boundary, you have to stand by that boundary if you have hope that you're going to get better.
Tune in on Thursday for an episode where a senior therapist joins me to talk about the topic of grooming. It's something we have never covered on this podcast, so I was really excited to have that conversation. And while, of course, we touched on how it relates to this actual main episode, we also talk about how grooming can happen in adult relationships and even adult friendships, which I had never thought about before. So I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.